forward and play on that, and we'll be ready for the website. I want you to get your Bibles this morning and find John chapter 20. And no, that's not poor grammar on my part. I worded the title of the message this way on purpose because as I began to study for this message and began to read the various accounts of the resurrection story, John chapter 20, it just kind of jumped out at me. And that one word was so prevalent, that word saw. So the question I'm asking you this morning is, have you saw the Lord? John chapter 20, we're going to read the entire chapter, then we're going to just spend a few minutes pointing out what various people in that chapter saw, and hopefully it will help you to open your spiritual eyes today to be able to say, you know, this is the one Easter or the one Resurrection Sunday where I really saw the Lord and what He could do in my life. We begin in John chapter 20. It says, early on the first day of the week, may we remember, Sunday is not the end of the week, it's the beginning of the week. We always tend to think in terms of Monday being the first day of the week. No, Sunday's the first day of the week, and I think that ought to help us make our entire week a lot better. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. I'll interject this, I always do. That's John, the one who wrote this gospel. When you write the gospel, you get to refer to yourself however you want. So he usually refers to himself, at least here, as the disciple that Jesus loved. And she said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, and both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. Notice the difference there. John, the younger one, outran Peter, but when they got there, good old Peter, who knows how to charge ahead no matter what, he didn't stop and peek in. He just went right into the middle of it. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that was folded up by itself that had been around Jesus' head. And it was separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, although they still do not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? And thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. And on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. We opened the service this morning with my wife singing that song, Was It a Morning Like This? You know, this might very well, in all of my years of growing up in the church, this might actually be the one Easter that is most like what the disciples faced that particular morning. You say, Pastor, how is that? We are confined to our homes, and there's fear running rampant right now through our nation because of this virus. We can't come together like we want to do. And you know, the disciples, if you read carefully in the scriptures and you read the accounts of all four gospels about what was going on, they were confined and quarantining themselves in their homes out of fear. Well, friends, I want to tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ that morning broke the fear. And today, my prayer is that as we look through this chapter today, that the fear some of you are feeling, the anxiety attacks some of you are having, that some of the doubt that some of you are experiencing, that it will be done away with as we celebrate the resurrection. Have you saw the Lord? Let's begin this morning with what Mary saw. First of all, we find that the first thing she saw when she arrived there is she saw the stone removed. If you read the other gospel accounts, you find that Mary Magdalene didn't go alone. There were some other women with her. And it says on their way to the tomb that morning to take spices, to spice up the body of Christ, they didn't have embalming in that day, so they would pack the burial cloth with spices so that the odor wouldn't get too bad. One of the things they were concerned about is who's going to remove that stone? It had been rolled into place by massive muscular soldiers. How were these women going to remove it? Friends, some of you today, there are things in life that you're facing right now, and to you, it's like this stone. It's an obstacle in the way, and you're asking, how am I going to have the stone removed? How am I going to make it when I don't have the hours at work that I should have? How am I going to succeed in my classes at school when I can't sit in the classroom with the teacher? How am I going to make my church continue what we thought we were going to do this year when I don't have my congregation in the building, when I don't have my team in the building? Well, friends, today, let me tell you something. Because Jesus was resurrected that day, the stone of obstacle will be removed. We find in verse 12 of that chapter that Mary Magdalene went back to the empty tomb and she looked in and she saw something then that she had never experienced before. She saw two angels. It says one was sitting at where Jesus' head had laid and the other one was where his feet had been. Can I tell you today, some of us, we may not see angels in the physical form, but friends, some of us need to understand that God is ready to have his angels minister to us when we need it. We need to stop looking to worldly resources all the time and begin to turn to the resurrected Savior and say, Lord, will you minister to me in a way that I can feel your presence like I've never done it before? And then verses 14 through 16, I love this part of the story with Mary. She's back at the garden tomb. She's wandering around. She's crying. She still doesn't get it. And all of a sudden she sees a man and she doesn't recognize him. Can I tell you right now, some of you, you're allowing doubt and fear and anxiety and grief to so cloud your view of things that when God tries to move in your life, you don't even recognize his hand. She thought it was the gardener. He says, why are you crying? She says, oh, if you put his body somewhere, tell me where it's at. And then in verse 15 to 16, he looks at her. And I wish we could travel back in time. I'd love to be there to hear. I'd love to be an ear witness to what happened. Because all he did was he spoke her name. And when he did it in such a way that she immediately recognized him. And she cried out, Rabboni, teacher, master. There are some of you right now hearing this message that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to take a heavenly Q-tip and clean out your ears so you can hear the voice of your Savior calling you by name. You have gotten so focused on the virus. You've gotten so focused on the obstacles. You've gotten so focused on the problems that you're not hearing the voice of the problem solver who's calling out your name. Well, what did Peter saw? And yes, I know that sounds grammatically strange, but we're doing it anyway. What is it that Peter saw? Well, first of all, Peter got there and he ran on past John and he saw the strips of linen lying there. Every place that is described in the scripture, and if we could go back into the ancient languages, the original Greek, it describes them as though we understand the linens were not unwrapped. It is though the body simply just vanished from in them, and as they did, the air inside was forced out slowly as they just kind of sank there. And he saw that. He didn't understand it yet, but he saw it. And he knew something was up. The other thing he saw was he saw the burial face cloth. Some translations call it a napkin. And it wasn't laying on top of the empty linen shroud. It was folded, laying by itself separately. Someone had taken the time to fold it up nice and neat. I almost picture it as like it is with my wife folding washcloths or my t-shirts. When we get laundry done, I've finally learned how to fold the washcloths the right direction that I think my wife likes. The problem is she's right-handed, I'm left-handed. And when I fold my t-shirts, they're folded, but you can tell I did it. And when she folds them, you can tell she did it, because when she does it, they're a lot nicer and neater. Peter saw that somebody had folded that up, and there's a lot of different traditions and theories about that. The ones I've heard that I like is that whenever you were done with a meal, if you really enjoyed the meal and you wanted to be invited back, or you were definitely going to come back to visit those people for another meal in the future, you would nicely fold the napkin up and set it off to the side. Now, I don't know exactly what went through Peter's mind, but I have to believe that somehow he simply knew that didn't get there by itself. Grave robbers would not have taken the time to fold it up and put it nice and neat off to the side. So Peter knew something was up. He was in an empty tomb, and something amazing and special had happened there. Now, what is it that John saw? Well, John also saw the strips of linen lying there, but he finally stepped in, and the word simply says, and remember, this is John's own gospel, so he doesn't go into detail. He simply says the other disciple, talking about himself, he says is that he saw it all, and he believed. I find it interesting, in most versions it's in parentheses there. It says, even though they didn't quite understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead, John stepped in, he saw the linen cloth empty, he saw the napkin there, he saw that the tomb was empty, and he believed. He believed. I don't think it was just a head belief, I think it was a heart belief. He knew that something special was going on. That's what John saw. We continue in that chapter, we get down to about verse 20, and it talks about the disciples, the 11 of them. Well, should have been 11. We find out that Thomas was gone. 10 of the 12 were there. Remember, Judas Iscariot had already taken his own life. They're in the house. Listen to me. This is so appropriate for where we are right now. They were self-quarantining. They were afraid to go out. They had the doors locked. They had the windows shuttered closed. They were afraid to go out. They were frightened. They were having anxiety attacks. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears in their midst. And to prove it was him, he says, "Here's my scars." I've always thought this was kind of strange. Now, my wife would probably be in a nurse, and those of the rest of you out there that are in the medical profession, you'd probably think this was cool. Jesus gives them the opportunity, and he says, "Here, put your fingers through the nail holes. Reach your hand into my side where they stuck the spear. Yeah, my son is over here helping run some of the equipment for this service, and he's giving that look that like I would want to give if I wasn't on camera, of like, oh my goodness, please no. It's all right, Jesus, thank you. Seeing them's enough. I don't want to touch them. But Jesus gave him the opportunity. Put your finger through the nail scar in my hands, in my feet. Here's where they rammed the spear in my side. Go ahead, reach in, feel the scar. That got their attention. Now, I don't think that they just immediately ran out of that house and began to celebrate, but it got them to thinking. It got them to understanding. They had to process it. He is alive. He is resurrected. It's exactly as Mary said. It's exactly what Peter said. It's exactly what John said. Friends, some of you today, you need to wake up on this Resurrection Sunday, and you need to say, you know what? This word, it's exactly as this word says. Some of you need to turn the news off. Some of you need to quit going on Facebook for a while. Some of you need to get off social media. Some of you need to get off the news because you're spending more time believing what they say and you're ignoring what he says. If I asked you today, what is it that you saw during the last week, most of you, if you were honest with this pastor, you'd say, what I saw was I saw the so-called wisdom of the world and I ignored the wisdom of Christ. Friends, let me tell you something. There will be difficult times. We are in difficult times and there will be more difficult times. But the Christian needs to look up and say, you know what? If he died on the cross so I could have forgiveness of my sins and he rose the third day just as it was prophesied in this word, then you know what? Everything else that's in this word that he's prophesied is going to also come true and I don't have to fear. Well, we're told there around verse 20 that the disciples saw this, but old Thomas, who was called Didymus or the twin, he wasn't there. And they told him when he showed up, they said, oh, Thomas, he's alive, he's alive. And he said, I don't believe it. Now, Thomas gets a bad rap, in my opinion. I mean, what is it that we usually call him? You, the two of you that are helping me with the technology today, what do we usually call Thomas? He's known as what? Doubting Thomas. Poor guy. I think he got a bad rap. You see, in all honesty, what he really was saying was, all right, you say you've seen him, but I don't want a secondhand experience. I want to see him for myself. You say he told you to put your fingers in the scars and your hand in the scar on his side. Fine, I want to do that myself. I want to see them for myself. Can I tell you, some of you, your relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it needs to be because you're trying to live through somebody else's relationship. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you. And that ought to be your desire today. Thomas hoped to see the scars. So we're told that it was about a week later, and Thomas is there with them. They're all back in the house, and they're eating again. You wonder why we like to do potlucks. If you read through the word, food was a very important part of getting together with the family of God. Thomas is there, and suddenly, again, Jesus just appears in their midst, and they're excited. And he looks at Thomas, and he says, all right, Thomas, you wanted to see the scars. Here they are. Go ahead, touch them. And immediately, Thomas didn't have to do that. Friends, when you encounter Jesus Christ face to face, you don't need any other proof. Thomas looked at him and he didn't need to touch the scars because he was seeing Jesus face to face and he said, my Lord and my God. Friend, let me ask you a question today. When's the last time you got alone with just you and your Bible and the presence of God? And you had a talk with him and you encountered him in such, to such a degree that all you could do was simply exclaim, my Lord and my God. I want you to notice something. Thomas didn't say, my Savior. We love to use that term that Jesus is our Savior. Can I tell you what? In the New Testament, he's called Lord more often than he's called Savior. This Resurrection Sunday, you need to let him become more than just your Savior. You need to let him become the Lord of your life. Let him have full control. Stop letting others direct your path. Make sure that when you're walking each day through life, that you're walking the path that your Lord has laid out for you. So I ask you this question this morning. This Resurrection Sunday, what is it that you saw? What is it that you see? My prayer is that by the time you lay your head on your pillow tonight, that you will do so with more peacefulness and restfulness in your heart and mind than you've had in a long time. Because I hope and pray that after you finish watching this video, this service, you will take time not to bemoan the fact that you can't hunt Easter eggs, not to cry over the fact you can't get together with lots of family for that big dinner. What I hope you will do is that you will take some time and you will take the word and you will say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see you in all your glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, thank you that you loved us so much that you set aside your deity. And you became one of us and you walked among us and you lived among us for the sole purpose of becoming the perfect sacrificial lamb. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for indwelling us now. We are now the temple that you dwell up in, and you help us walk each day and help us to become more like Christ in all that we do. May we celebrate the fact that you didn't just come to be born in a manger, Lord Jesus. You didn't just come and die on the cross and the story ended there, but you were resurrected. And now you sit at the Father's right hand and you intercede on our behalf. May we never forget that. And may we in the right way take advantage of that, because the word declares that we can come boldly before your throne, O Father, because of what Jesus Christ the Son has done on our behalf. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll be with you Thursday night at 6:30 this week for Bible study, and again next Sunday at 11 a.m. right here. God bless you.